Hey guys, I'm giving a speech to the Libertarian Party in Rhode Island on October the 27th, and then November the 3rd with Ron Paul and Lou Rockwell and a bunch of others down there in Lake Jackson. Jeff Deist and all that Mises Institute are having me out to give a talk about media stuff, and that's November the 3rd down there in Lake Jackson. If you like Ron Paul events and you're nearby, I'll see you there.
Sorry I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
Well, it's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
But we ain't killing they army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, bitch, say it three times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
All right, you guys, introducing Justin Elliott from ProPublica. He's got this very important piece I hope you'll look at. It's called Trump's Patron-in-Chief, Casino Magnate Sheldon Adelson. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, Justin?
Good. Good to be here.
Good. Very happy to have you here. Great piece of work. Very interesting.
Thanks.
Sheldon Adelson, he's worth $35 billion. Who's that, and how'd he get so rich?
Yeah, so Sheldon, I think it's actually Adelson, although people seem to pronounce it both ways.
Oh,
but,
okay.
His people say Adelson. You know, he is him and his family are the majority owners of Las Vegas Sands, which is a big casino company. His money originally was from casinos in Vegas, but actually now most of it comes from a series of properties they own over in Macau, which is in southern China. And he's also a longtime political donor, mainly to the Republican side, and that has increased a lot in recent years. He, you know, for example, right now in the midterms, he's given something like, he and his wife have given something like $90 million to the Republican congressional campaign efforts. And he also gave at least $20 million to help Trump back in the 2016 campaign. And, you know, he's somebody that cares a lot about Israel. He described himself as a one-issue guy, and that issue is Israel.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting to note the way you do in the piece that I think he said he's the son of a cab driver, actual rags-to-riches guy, Adelson.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. He grew up in Boston. I think he said his father had a sixth-grade education, and he's somebody, Adelson, he's now 85, actually, but he has started or acquired dozens of businesses. He actually got into the casino industry relatively late in life, and he's, now something like, if you believe Forbes, I think like the 20th richest person in the entire world. So this is a real, unlike a Donald Trump, this is somebody that really has been a incredibly successful rags-to-riches businessman.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, Trump famously in the campaign renounced Sheldon Adelson. And, in fact, I guess I was reminded, or maybe I hadn't noticed this before, but in the quote, he stops himself. He says, Sheldon, could be the Cokes, anybody. But he started to renounce him specifically. And I guess he did tell the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. They're like, who needs your donations? I'm so rich already. You can't own me. You can't control me, guys, this kind of thing. But I guess that didn't last too long, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable if you look back to the early stages of the Republican primary back in 2015. There was that quote you mentioned, and there's actually a tweet. There's always a tweet where Trump is talking about Rubio, Marco Rubio, and he says, Sheldon Adelson is looking to give big dollars to Rubio because he, Adelson, feels he can mold Rubio into his perfect little puppet. I agree. So he was sort of derisively referring to Adelson, but that changed by mid-2016 when Trump locked up the nomination And Adelson, who, you know, is by all accounts a very loyal partisan Republican, got behind Trump, and then he and his wife ended up giving at least $20 million to the Trump side, and then at least another sixty million to Republican candidates that cycle. So they're probably the single biggest donors on that side. It's hard to say because we don't have like full disclosure, but they are among the biggest donors on that side.
Mm-hmm. And now, so you mentioned Israel. We got a lot to talk about on that line. But when it comes to his political donations in the past, you list McCain, well, I guess first Giuliani, then McCain, Gingrich, then Romney. Those are both examples of where first he picks the guy who's the more Zionist ideologue, and then he ends up settling for supporting whoever gets the nomination anyway. Is that basically the story there?
Yeah, I mean, he said that he's a one issue guy, and that issue is Israel. You see every presidential campaign cycle, or at least in the few recent ones in which he's been a truly major donor, you see Republican candidates going out to Las Vegas to sort of woo him and woo the family for their support, and Israel policy is a huge part of that. He's also actually arguably an even bigger force in Israeli politics. Obviously, Israel is much smaller than the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
He's a huge longtime ally of Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister. And Adelson actually also owns a big newspaper in Israel that is known for being incredibly and consistently supportive of Netanyahu and his policies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such an important point. The overlapping funding there, where, you know, there's a lot to complain about in terms of Israeli influence in the United States on American policy. But then the poor Israelis as a population, they're saddled with a bunch of very rich, very right wing pro-Israel forces in the United States that support very right wing forces inside Israel and possibly preclude the idea that somebody with a little bit more fairness toward the Palestinians in mind would even have a chance. I guess this guy's not an Israeli. He's an American.
I'm not an expert on sort of Israeli campaign finance, but from all the coverage I've read over there, and there's been a lot, Adelson and there's a few others like him has been really like a towering figure in their politics. He owns a major newspaper that is actually given away for free. It may actually be the single largest newspaper over there at this point. It's called Israel Hayom, which means Israel Today. And there's a nickname that I think is going off the Hebrew, but it's essentially like known as like the BB paper, the Netanyahu paper. He's a huge figure over there. And again, obviously it's a much, much smaller country. And so somebody with this amount of money and the willingness to spend it is going to have even more influence over such a small country.
Right. And now in the campaign of 2016, Trump was always very Zionist. It was just that he had, in these two instances, somewhat distanced himself from Adelson, and then I guess from AIPAC a little bit. But and though it's true that some people were hopeful, and even more people, I think, on the neocon side were terrified that he meant what he said about possible fairness and balance in negotiating between Israel and Palestine, and reacted in that way. That was never really in the cards. So it would be, and I'm not saying you say this, I'm just saying, I'm just kind of clarifying. I don't think anyone's ever really said that, Trump became that much more Zionist in his beliefs or anything like that because of Adelson's influence. And yet you do in the article, you directly tie some of these donations to the policies, at least correlation, if not direct causation. But boy, it sure looks like it when you talk about pulling out of the joint plan of action for, the Iran deal, the Iran nuclear deal, as well as moving the embassy to Jerusalem.
Yeah, I mean, and it's been publicly reported, I believe, by the New York Times that that Sheldon Adelson did publicly, did privately lobby Trump on moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, which, you know, is important because that's a, you know, the sort of ownership, for lack of a better word, of that city is contested. Obviously, Palestinians claim at least East Jerusalem, and most of the world recognizes those claims. I think the, you know, Trump actually broke at least a couple decades of bipartisan precedent when earlier this year he did move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. I believe Guatemala was the only other country that did that. And that's something that Sheldon Adelson and his wife Miriam have been pushing for since at least the mid-90s. I found some stories referencing them lobbying personally on Capitol Hill for that back in, I believe, 1995. And, you know, I don't think any of this was a real secret. Adelson, if you can look online for a video of the big opening ceremony, and the Adelsons were in the front row next to Jared Kushner and Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, and Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister. So
and John Hagee.
Yeah, they were given front row seats, and you know these are private citizens.
Right.
So they were obviously incredibly important in that on that particular policy move.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, the best ways to donate to the show are patreon.com. $5 a month will get you keys to the Reddit group. $1 per interview will get you 2 free audiobooks from Listen and Think Audio. And then if you want to donate at scotthorton.org/donate, anybody who donates $50 gets a signed book, and $100 will get you a QR code silver commodity disc or a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think Audiobooks at listenandthink.com. And yes, I take all your digital currencies and all that too. So there you go. Find out all about that at scotthorton.org/donate and patreon.com/scotthortonshow. And now, same thing too on the JCPOA, huh?
Yeah, I mean, so Adelson has certainly, you know, in the Obama years was very critical publicly of the Obama policy on Iran. At one point, it was somewhat famously, he sort of it seemed like he was half joking, but it was sort of unclear. He talked about dropping a nuclear bomb in Iran or somewhere in a desert area to show them that we were serious. So he's, you know, has very hawkish views on that issue. And, you know, it's not totally clear how Trump came to the decision to kill the Iran deal. But, you know, one thing you can see is that, you know, I laid out my story, but like very close, timing-wise, very close to the timing of when Trump officially announced they were doing that, killing the deal, and the Adelsons made a huge donation to the Republican campaign efforts for the midterms. So,
right.
You know, are those two things connected? Hard to say, but they came in very close proximity.
Mm-hmm. And now, just to make sure I understand, that $30 million, that's part of the $90 million that you cited earlier for the same midterm effort?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's sort of been, you know, we get these sort of quarterly disclosures, so you add them up over time. But that was one of the early donations for this cycle.
Mm-hmm. So in 2016, $20 million to the Trump campaign, $60 million to the Republicans overall, and now in the midterms, $90 million already, 30 of
yep.
which you directly correlate to this within a couple of days of the JCPOA decision there.
And another gave $5 million to the Trump inauguration, which I think mm-hmm. was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, single donation in history. So, and again, these are the donations we know about. It's possible there are some to these groups that don't disclose that we don't know about. So these are really minimums.
Mm-hmm. And you quote Alan Dershowitz in the article saying that, oh, yeah, he has full access and calls Trump all the time, right?
Yep, there's a remarkable level of access. You know, he's had dinner at the White House with Trump. they talk regularly on the phone by, you know, by all accounts, including what Dershowitz told me. I think the New York Times put it at once a month that they talk. And, you know, it's very hard to get at as a reporter what's being said in these phone calls, because there's a very small group of people, perhaps in some cases only Trump and Adelson themselves, that actually know what's being said. But this, what we do know is that this is a quite extraordinary level of access for somebody that is a private citizen.
Mm-hmm. And now, is he involved in the actual settler movement in the West Bank in any way, do you know?
You know, I know that the family has given money to Israeli Jewish institutions in the West Bank. I believe they just had a medical school at a university in the West Bank named after them that they gave a bunch of money to.
Mm-hmm. At a settlement there, you're saying?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right, yeah. A university in an Israeli settlement in the West Bank. You know, in terms of, you know, I don't know that they, you know, literally own real estate in the West Bank or anything like that, but they certainly have made donations to institutions there.
Mm-hmm. And do you know about donations to, say, organizations that, you know, are politically active lobbying for settlers, whether, you know, in Washington or in Tel Aviv? Jerusalem.
Sure. I mean, so Adelson definitely, at least in the past, was a big donor to AIPAC. There was some, this is not something I looked at, but there was some reporting several years ago that they had a falling out, possibly actually over the Iran deal. What I can tell you is that Adelson is a major donor to the Zionist Organization of America, ZOA, which is sort of one of the more farther right-wing groups in mm-hmm. the general American pro-Israel advocacy scene, and certainly ZOA, if you look at, you know, their positions, they're certainly not unfriendly to the West Bank settlements.
Mm-hmm. And now, so it's interesting, too, you call up, you remind us in the article about the campaign against McMaster, mm-hmm. who, you know, I was happy to see fired for different reasons, but I always wondered what they had against him. He supposedly, you know, in their telling, oh, he's some horrible anti-Semite or hates Israel or some kind of thing. I know that can't possibly be true. So what was it that he actually ever did or said that got him in so much trouble?
Yeah, I mean, this actually goes back to ZOA. So ZOA, again, this group that Adelson or the Adelson family are the single biggest donors to, launched a big public campaign against McMaster, and their claim was that he, quote-unquote, had animus towards Israel and was too friendly to Iran. They didn't seem to have much evidence for that. I guess he'd made some personnel changes that they didn't like. I think he, if I remember correctly, I think he perhaps fired some people that had been brought in by Mike Flynn. So hard to know where they were getting that. And they did not really cite convincing evidence for the idea that he had any kind of animus towards Israel. But then what you saw was there were some press reports where it came out that Sheldon Adelson had actually emailed the head of ZOA and said that he supported the campaign against McMaster. It was also reported, again by the New York Times, that Adelson had wanted and asked Trump to appoint John Bolton to a high-level position. So a few months after this campaign, Trump fires McMaster and replaces him with Bolton. Now, I'm not saying that Sheldon Adelson was, behind, you know, was single-handedly sort of puppet mastering those moves. But I do think it's a significant thing when you have a major donor to the president come out publicly against a sitting cabinet member. So I think that's quite significant.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like McMaster ever said, we've got to come up with a two-state solution before it's too late or any kind of thing like that in his life, right?
I mean, I don't know his whole record, but again, from looking at the ZOA campaign against him. That, you know, they put out some research report. There was, you know, they said in there that he had animus toward Israel, but there was no compelling evidence to back that up.
Yeah. It makes sense, like you're saying, that they just wanted Bolton, and so whatever they had to do or say against this guy, make it, you know, get it done to get Bolton in there.
Yeah, I mean, so certainly we know that Bolton, we know through a lot of reporting over the years that Bolton is certainly close to the Adelsons, and you know, yeah, now he's National Security Advisor.
Yeah, which is a problem. Now, McMaster, I would have demoted him to sergeant, sent him to Afghanistan, but that's different, you know. All right, so now I'm glad that we say this to the end, because it is, to me, it's the least important part of this, although it is important too, though, is the access that he's bought to the Trump administration to get them to put pressure on the Japanese to give him gambling concessions. Is that right?
Yeah, so basically what I found, I mean, we don't have, you know, sort of the full picture here, but what I found is that Adelson's company, Las Vegas Sands, has been trying for years to build a casino in Japan. Japan doesn't have casinos. They just legalized them, but they're only going to be issuing a few licenses. So there's a big, expensive competition among big casino companies to get one of these licenses, which are going to be, you know, thought to be worth a lot of money. This market's going to be worth many billions of dollars a year. Adelson's company wants one of these licenses, and what I report in my story is that early in the Trump presidency, Trump actually raised Adelson's company, Sands, to Shinzo Abe, the Japanese prime minister. This was actually first reported over in Japan and has become by a Japanese newspaper, and has become a political issue over there by critics of the casino legalization law. But this is something that's sort of still in progress. I mean, Adelson and Sands haven't gotten this license yet. Again, over in Japan, there's been criticism of Abe by some people saying that, you know, that his policies on the casino issue are really designed to help, to serve what President Trump wants and what his donor Sheldon Adelson wants.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, cause I kind of scanned over the article again this morning, but, something tells me that there was something in there I missed that I did notice when I actually read the thing through carefully before about their previous relationship when Trump was in the gambling business. Was there something there?
Yeah, I mean, they have an interesting history. I mean, you know, so Trump, it's sort of easy to forget this now, but he was a casino guy. He no longer is, but, you know, he had casinos going back to the 80s. What I learned in my reporting is that, you know, at least according to somebody I talked to that used to work with Adelson, that Adelson didn't think much of Trump when he was in the casino business and sort of was dismissive of him. You know, of course, it's true that Trump's casinos ended up going bankrupt multiple times, whereas Adelson has thrived and is now at the very top of the industry. So they've actually crossed paths going back to at least the early 90s. And Trump has said that he's known him for years. Mm-hmm. So there's a sort of interesting history there, which has, does not seem like they were friends in the past, but now sort of post 2016, they have at least a very strong sort of political alliance.
Yeah, we need to find a way to stoke those personal resentments. You know, I sent Trump a tweet one time that said, you know, Sheldon Adelson talks about you behind your back, you know, this kind of thing. We need to get that through to him. Someone get a guest spot on Fox News and smuggle that in there and see if we can get him to see that and start to worry about it. Because I don't know what else could break him apart on this point. I mean, again, Adelson is simply paying him handsomely for doing what he was probably apt to do anyway. So, you know, he was always in a Ron Hawk, for example, or he's always, you know, he obviously never cared what happened to the Palestinians or anything like that. So,
yeah, I mean, I think Trump, in terms of his Israel policy, there was that one moment in, I believe it was one of the debates that you mentioned before, where he said something about, trying to make the deal of a lifetime and sort of be even-handed. But, you know, I think if you look at the last few years, that was really an exception, that statement, to if you look at the people they disappointed and the policies, that was a sort of strange outlier statement. And I think, you know, that's not unusual for Trump, right? Like, I think it's been said that he's been on every side of every issue.
Exactly.
And then one statement like that with him, especially, you really can't put much stock in it.
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing about it is how revealing it was for the reactions, that people screamed, fairness? Oh, my God, what's going to happen? Can't have fairness? That'll be the end of everything. So, I don't know. I like that part. But, yeah, he clearly never meant that. And we see what his deal of the century is, and that is, all right, here's what you're going to get, Palestinians, and it ain't much, and you're going to be happy because you got no better choices coming, you know?
So. Yeah, I mean, I guess the deal hasn't, the plan has sort of been long promised and it keeps being delayed. And I think the last I read, you know, this is not something I've been reporting on, but I think the last I read, they're now delaying it till after the election. So who knows what that's going to look like. And,
well, I mean,
know,
they've
whether,
talked a bit about
it. Whether
it'll
ever be released at all.
Yeah, I mean, Kushner's given interviews and Greenblatt has given interviews and stuff describing more or less what it's going to be. And it's going to be basically a continuation of the occupation and everything but name, right? Maybe a little bit more welfare payments than before?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not an expert on it.
Well, all right. Well, yeah, I mean, we'll see. But doesn't sound like it's very much of anything that the Palestinians would call a deal of a century.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on the show to talk about this. It's a very important article and very good work you've done, so. Thanks again.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All right, you guys. That's Justin Elliott. He's at ProPublica. And this one is called Trump's Patron in Chief, Casino Magnate Sheldon Adelson. All right, y'all. Thanks. Find me at libertarianinstitute.org, at scotthorton.org, antiwar.com, and reddit.com/Scott Horton Show. Oh, yeah. And read my book, Fool's Errand: Timed and the War in Afghanistan, at foolserrand.us.